Paul, born in Bolton, England, immigrated to South Africa at the age of just 2 years old. He attended the University of Cape Town, earning a BA in drama. He has been in part of our theatre journey for decades, and as a founding member of South Africa's first non-racial theatre company, The Space, alongside Athol Fugard and John Carney and Yvonne Briceland, Paul played a pivotal role in shaping the theatre's country landscape. He later co-founded the renowned Market Theatre Company in Johannesburg with Manny Manum and Barney Simon. Paul is known not just for his theatre work, but has won many accolades over the years, including the Standard Bank Young Artist of the Year Award in 1983, the Naledi Lifetime Achievement Award, and he is known for his profound contribution to South African theatre. Has over 100 stage and TV productions, as well as 15 feature films under his belt. It's not every day we get to meet our icons, and I'm really honored today to be ch chatting to Paul Slabolepsi. I hope I've said that right, Paul.
Yes, you have.
And as an English graduate and a drama student, you know, you have these iconic people in life's timeline that you followed or watched live. It's really great to be having you on my show this morning. And this forms part of a show called Under the Spotlight, where we focus on theatre and happenings in the Western Cape. So very pleased to have you. I believe you're talking to us from a very chilly Johannesburg. And it's not
Yes.
often we get to say in Cape Town, oh, we have a perfect day, but we do have an almost perfect day for this time of the year in Cape Town. And yeah, we're looking forward to hearing about bitter winter. But also, Paul, before we go into the discussion about bitter winter, which is running currently at the Baxter until the 14th of June, is that right?
That is correct.
Perfect. So we'd love to hear a little bit about your journey. What we know you came to South Africa when you were just a 2 year old, and we want to know
Yes.
what it's been like.
Okay. My story, I grew up in tiny towns all over South Africa.
How
Well,
delightful.
when I say all over, it started in Modderfontein, the dynamite factory near Johannesburg, and then we moved to Witbank, and then finally to the Limpopo Valley, where I lived in Messina for my teenage years.
Where it's
And
hot as hell, right?
of hard as hell. In fact, we swam right through winter. Every day you could go swimming, no problem. And then I went to a Catholic boarding school in Pietersburg. After that, I went to University of Cape Town,
Oh,
with the
after that
idea.
misspent youth in the
Yes.
boarding school, you had to get
Yes.
some
Well,
grounding, right?
yeah, my father wanted me to be an engineer, but I was very interested in sports broadcasting. I wanted to be a commentator, a sports
Because
commentator.
they all sound so amazing, right, Paul?
Yes, they do. And
Yes.
I played all sorts of sport at school. I played soccer, rugby, cricket, swimming, athletics. I won the Victor Ludorum in athletics and swimming in the same year. I was sport obsessed, but part of doing the BA broadcasting degree at UCT, I saw a play at the Little Theatre, UCT's Little Theatre, and fell in love with theatre. And the rest is history. I just fell straight
Amazing.
in.
Amazing. So I heard a lot of mining towns. Is that because of your parents' work,
Yes.
that you ended up in a lot of mining towns?
Yes. My father was he was a production engineer, and he did work study, and he moved around a lot, I mean, I moved so many times as a child, never mind towns. I also moved a lot of houses because we would always. As my father moved up, was promoted, we moved to another house and another house and another. But living in different towns and cities and things, I always was had to make new friends and say goodbye to old friends, which was always
So
quite sad.
it's like a production, and then it's
Yeah,
amazing, and you
yes.
form this bond, and then there's a cast party, and everybody goes in their own direction.
That's the story of my childhood.
Ah, very interesting. So, Paul, you spent quite a few years in the Western Cape, and you live in Johannesburg now. And you were instrumental in some really, and you worked with some giants, yourself being one of those iconic giants, people like Manny Manum with and Don Simon.
I was a founder member of the Space Theatre in Cape Town with Athol Fugard, Yvonne Brightsland, John Carney, and then the Market Theatre in Johannesburg in 1976, with Manny Manum and Barney Simon. And of course, John Carney also joined us at the Market. So yes, I was very fortunate during those years to work in the first non-racial theatres in South Africa. I mean, when I think back in 1972 already, we were opening our doors to everyone and also playing, with mixed casts. We weren't, it was a wonderful opportunity to tell the real stories of what was going on in the country.
That was a great responsibility.
Yes, it was. My first
And
play.
very important.
Yes.
Sorry.
Saturday Night at the Palace, I wrote in 1982, and that traveled to England and Ireland, Scandinavia. Yeah, those were important days of what we called protest theatre at the Market.
Yes, absolutely. But I always tell the story of Mzwakhe Mbuli, who
Yes.
was this powerful protest poet. And then he reached a point where he had no more material because he couldn't do that powerful, rousing action kind of poetry. And then he was quiet for a while. And that's because he, like an actor gets typecast in a role, he couldn't think out of that kind of protest poetry. But you've been able to navigate and create material and stay relevant over many, many decades.
Yes, well, I love stories. Barney Simon always, said that he had this little saying that God created humans because he loved stories. That was from Barney. And I've always believed in the power of storytelling. In fact, I do a kind of a workshop about, I call it From the Street to the Stage to the Screen. And I go through my journey of how I have discovered or looked, searched for stories and brought them to the stage or the screen. I'm just fascinated by people and humanity and the human condition. And I'm always interested in different people, how people connect, how they find each other. I suppose I'm always looking for healing. I look to heal.
Yes, it's
I think it's
cathartic
very,
when
yes.
you do that, and that's powerful, and also very brave to be able to say, I need healing, and I'm able to reach out and ask for it.
Yes. Also growing up in very conservative areas of the country, Pietersburg and Messina at that time, Witbank, very, 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 very conservative areas. And I saw some really hectic things growing up, and also was forced to live in an environment where we were told we're kind of superior, and I had lots of friends right across the spectrum, and I could never understand, the whole it was terrible as a kid, and I think a lot of my stories come from that, the kind of the tearing apart thing of our government at the time, of how we
Yes.
were forced to live live these separate lives and have lies foisted on us all the time. We're just lied to, you know. And I think that comes out strongly in my plays.
A very powerful book, How We Are Made to See. I don't know if you've read it, but it's about how narratives and histories are constructed. It's an old book, old book, written in the 60s, way, way before you and I were born. And it's an American author. I must find it and then I'll send you the link because it talks about advertising and how we create constructs for people, how vehicle companies always have some leggy blonde on the bonnet. Porsche does the suggestive, almost soft porn advertising of their cars using women. And just the subliminal messaging, even with big giants like Coca-Cola. So it's an interesting thing. And I always think about our own country and how we were made to see. It's just we had to be pretty strong to see beyond the construct that was created for us.
Absolutely. And my eyes were opened when I went to University of Cape Town, growing up in these small, tiny places and seeing that, we've been fed all of this nonsense. And I suppose because, in a funny way, my life has straddled the days of apartheid and now the freedom and democracy. And so my life has straddled in equal segments these two worlds. And so it keeps coming up in my work. I can't help it. But
Yes, it's what you are influenced by, which brings us to bitter winter. I'd love to hear, what that creative process was like.
Well, it was interesting that it was a talk at the Baxter Theatre by Liz Mayron, who spoke about the work of the Theatre Benevolent Fund, which is a fund, yes, that collects money for aging artists of all kinds of musicians, dancers, singers, actors who find themselves in difficulty and their state pension is not enough to keep them going. And then the Benevolent Fund, Theatre Benevolent Fund, assists them. And Laura Foote called me from the Baxter and said, did I think I might have a play somewhere? And immediately I have had so many colleagues of mine who've died in poverty, really in terrible
We see
situations.
it. We see it all the time. No allocations for artists who are ill, no medical aid. And then this giant of screen and stage, you just see them looking like a homeless person. And you think, what happened? How is it justified that people who create so beautifully are then subjected to this?
Yes, well, Charlene Surtees Richards is a case in point.
Absolutely, who I was thinking of.
Yes, that's right. Couldn't be helped. And so for me, also being looking up to those who've come before, we stand on the shoulders of those that have been before. And I think of our great iconic actors. And so it was easy for me to begin writing a story about an actor who traveled a lot. So I do talk in the play. There's a lot of humorous adventures of the old acting days. But basically, the play is an audition for a Western, for a movie. And this old actor comes along to the audition, hoping to get it. And he's met there in the audition room. A young a black character called Prosper Mangane, who is playing the lead, he's come there to meet the director. And so these two are left in this audition room alone while the director is stuck in customs, coming from America. And so I cover a whole range of issues, ageism, the old dying Afrikaans actor, basically classical Shakespearean actor, and the young up-and-coming TV star who's been discovered in a bar, and he is now the up-and-coming star. And it's how these two characters from two completely different worlds begin to understand each other's lives. And from the very frosty, bitter beginning, they find connection.
Yes.
Yes, Felicia Willemse, who's a casting agent, and she keeps coming in and telling them where, you know, what's going on. Also, she has a lovely monologue in the play. She describes how the director's been held up in customs, and then talks about how difficult it is being a casting agent, having to tell actors, sorry, you haven't got the part, you have to go home, and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I cover a lot of stuff about the industry, but in Johannesburg, I had an engineer coming out of the play at the end. He was in tears, and he said, this is my life as well. I've been retrenched, I'm getting old, and I've been told I'm not needed anymore. And yeah, it's about that as
Actually,
well.
it's something that many people
Yes,
can
because I
identify with because we were having this conversation the other day, in fact, yesterday, with a young lady who assists me, who's a retiree and not very tech savvy. And we work, I mean, I'm not young either. And I try to stay very, very current with things like ChatGPT and AI. I am actually furiously pursuing those things because for me, I want to make sure that I stay current. And she unfortunately has not embraced that. And I had to say to her that I have to change her role a little bit and change how we engage with each other because I absolutely need this, and I need a young person who can do this. And whilst there's still things that I need her to do, she's not prepared to embrace this world of AI and this fast-paced world, you know. She will come with a notebook to make notes in a little black book, and we switch on AI reader, and then it takes the notes and summarizes our meeting. Because we are in the business of time management and we're just trying to do what's efficient. And she was so gracious about it. And I thought to myself, you know, that's so wonderful. How long am I going to be able to stay relevant? What effort is it going to take for me? Because I also surround myself with a lot of young people.
Good.
We have like Shamima was an intern in our office and she now heads a whole department. And we have a robust intern program because it keeps us young and relevant.
You know, that's the whole thing about, you know, I feel like I'm 23 in my head, or no, well, I'm 30 in my head, that I work with a lot of young screenwriters and assist them in telling the stories. And, you know, of all the pitfalls and obstacles that I've overcome over the years, and I feel that, and I think that's a thing that I touch on in my play, that we are still so capable, but often told we're not needed anymore. And I think that is such a sad thing that,
Where we
and look,
become spare people and
yes. And look, if I like the character in my play, I have no pension. I have no retirement policy. I have to keep working till the very end. So I've got to keep sharp, work with youngsters, and just keep relevant. You know, I'm writing another play
Absolutely.
now. I have to keep
What
going.
is the other play about? Please tell me.
Oh.
Can you tell me?
Well, it's called Midnight in Paris. Midnight in Paris, as
Now,
opposed
I've
to
been to
Moon.
Paris and I love it. I
Oh.
actually saw real live men with shorts,
Oh.
felt skinner, and socks, and I felt like I was stuck on the set of Sia van der Laan or something.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, when I saw the movie Midnight in Paris, I thought, one day I'm going, because I know Paris as well, having traveled through there many times. And I thought, I'm going to write a play one day called Midnight in Paris. Well, here it is. Yes, well, basically, look, I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it does, it deals with an encounter late at night in a karaoke bar, an ex-karaoke bar, in Paris. And it deals with two like a conversation with two people. I actually realize now I can't tell you what it's about because the conversation leads to something very dramatic. It's a kind of a thriller, really. And I'm kind
Well,
of
it just
hoping.
gives me a reason to connect with you again, Paul, and
Absolutely.
to have you back on the show.
Yes.
And maybe it will come to Cape Town as well, which would be such a treat.
Yes.
So it's I'm just happy that you're working on something exciting and new and staying current and relevant in
Yes.
this very, very fast evolving world. It's
Yes, very. And this is a topic
breakneck
that
speed.
I guess, yes, this is a topic that we need to deal with too at the moment, the one I'm dealing with now. So it's very exciting for me, you know. And I just love, as I say, telling stories.
Well, Paul, you know, they sometimes say, please don't meet your heroes. You might be deeply disappointed. I'm just elated for having had this chat with you, having seen your work from afar and
Yes. Well,
admired you so greatly over the years. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you,
thank you.
and
Well,
thank you.
I'd love to meet you in the future. So if I'm in Cape Town, I'm around, please let's say hello and it'll be lovely.
Absolutely.
Yes,
And you know,
yes.
if you're coming back in winter, then my home is actually the best location for the perfect
Oh, you.
curry and kale.
Oh, ooh, love. I love that. Oh gosh, that would be
So we'll
lovely.
stay in touch for sure. I'll get the
Yes.
number from Shamima and please do stay
Good.
in touch. Absolute pleasure to chat to Paul Slabolepsi on Jet Setting with Janet Under the Spotlight. Paul, all the best for your run at the Baxter Theatre. Tickets
Thank you.
available.
Thank you so much, Janet. Thank you.
You're welcome. And tickets are available online and via the Baxter box office.